This recording is provided by Christian Missionary Fellowship International, Boston. You're welcome to make free distribution to friends. However, all for-profit distribution is a violation of existing copyright and other applicable laws. For more information about our churches, visit www.cmfiboston.org.
We're going to move on to questions for and answers for the videos that we just heard. So, what we just watched, sorry. So, if you were taking notes and you have anything to ask, Brother Theodore will try to answer them.
Who has got a question? All right. Pauline, you start.
First of all, thank you so much for preparing a documentary for us like that, because there is no way I could have seen all these. My question is, because I saw that there is a plan, and right now the status is 3,600 something hectare purchase. The plan is to have 10,000. If you plan to have a separate fund that will be to realize that plan, or I'm asking that to know if we have to specify when we're giving for that purpose, dedication for that, when we're giving. And the second one is, what is the current capacity of the school of knowing God? There are some houses there and some dormitory and so forth. If the current capacity that you have is meet your need, or if there are any other thing.
Okay. Pauline, question one, do we specify the funds for it? Yes. It makes it easier to have integrity. Secondly, that's the way we have functioned. What we have done so far has been with what people specified. Second question. The present capacity of the school of knowing and serving God. That is, in terms of how many people we can take. The truth is that there is no building yet for the school of knowing and serving God. We have just those small buildings that you have available. Sister Emilia lives in one of the small apartments. Sister Henriette lives in one of the other small apartments. I don't yet have a place. We are still building a big house. You saw them building that big house. So in terms of capacity, we take as many as we can cram into available space. Part of their training will be to endure hardship. For now, we have over 9 young families that are training. But we are laboring to recruit the next set, which will be about 40. 40 young families. I have 250 applications from university students who want to be missionaries. My only problem is, no student can be trusted who is not yet married, unless they have unusual maturity. So we have the applications. And the third question was, what was the third question? Okay. It is going to take unusual sums of money to realize the vision. When we were praying for the 114 days we were praying, the young people who were praying, the script for this is written by a young engineer from Nigeria, one of the young people I was training in Nigeria, an electronics engineer. So this represents what he grasped from the prayer, from the praying crusade. Because he wrote the script without my help. So this is a bit of what those who were in the prayer crusade could lay hold on. He worked on it for 155 hours to produce this small documentary with primitive tools. But he just had to do something, because I told him, I don't believe in anybody having a department for which he doesn't do anything. So he wanted to do something to convince me he's committed. He assembled his own team, and they did all this during the prayer crusade, while attending the prayer crusade of 12 hours. So it's in between time, so that they could teach me a lesson about their seriousness. During the prayer crusade, one of the things we also did was that we decided to get an introduction to the biography of Brazzac. What I mean, an introduction, something, a summary. Brazzac was born in 1945. So we decided to write 1945 to 1955, 1955 to 1965, 1965 to 1975, 1975 to 1985, 1985 to 1995, 1995 to 2005, 2005 to when he went to be with the Lord. Just simple chapters as an introduction. It will be produced in a hardcover book of 700 and something pages. It's already been written. That's part of what we did during the prayer crusade. And then we also wrote a book. There were some books that have not yet been written. Since I was one of the editorial assistants of Brazzac, I decided to get some of the books that can be written. I want to introduce, we have often said that the executive council of our ministry, where decisions are taken, where direction is given, where consultation takes place, that the executive council of Christian Missionary Fellowship International is the prayer meeting, where we wait on God, where we pray through the vision, where God has a chance of correcting us, directing us, and guiding us. The board meeting of Christian Missionary Fellowship International is the prayer meeting. Table talk is not a great premium in the ministry, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. And there are things that people see in a prayer meeting which they cannot see in the context of discussion. When you are talking things over with God, you see perspectives that you cannot see otherwise. When I was young, I read the works of C.S. Lewis. In one of the books, in the Narnia Chronicles, it is called The Silver Chair. Aslan told one of the little girls, high up in the mountain, say, here, the air is clear, and your heart is at peace. And the things you hear will not quite be, they will not be quite as you have heard them down in the valley. And what you have seen will not look quite as it is down in the valley. No, he was talking to Jill, a little girl called Jill. So he told Jill, in order to keep the signs such that you can recognize them, repeat them to yourself every day. and every evening. Up here, the air is clear and your head is clear. In the presence of God, there are things that are usually clear, where in the press of life, they will not be clear. Try it. When you go into God's presence to meditate, you will see and write things which you will not recognize by your own self when you are in the press of life. In the presence of God, things are clear. One sees in a certain way. And out there, they are not quite what they look like. So, the executive board meeting of our ministry is the prayer meeting. Because there, we see things as God is seeing them. We dare to believe what God. There's a young girl, from the day she was born again and led to Christ by Brian Manuel Bayer, after some time she was a zealous girl and also troublesome, like all zealous people. But when I now needed to get the lessons that came through in the prayer meetings, because I want to get a series of 12 books, which will be under the series of In the School of Prayer with Zach Formum. The books that came from the ongoing prayer meetings over the years. I was looking for somebody who has been in the prayer meetings to write from notes. We found a little girl. She told us that from 1999 to 2009, when Brazak went to be with the Lord, from the time she was 18 till the time Brazak went to be with the Lord when she was 28, she has never missed one prayer meeting of Brazak. She had attended 1,526 prayer meetings in those 10 years with Brazak. So we told her, from your notes, I guided her to begin to extract the lessons. She has finished the first volume. That's part of what she did during the prayer crusade. So that's one more book written, a summary biography written. These guys did their documentary. By the time we finished the prayer crusade, almost everybody was falling sick, because they had worked hard. Now, if somebody has to put in 155 hours besides attending the prayer meetings for 12 hours every day, and then for you to understand, they got married 3 days before the prayer meeting started. So this is honeymoon. Most of the time, those who get married cannot concentrate to do anything. And even the Bible understands. From the teachings, from Brazak's teachings during the Tuesday meetings, over the many years of teaching the church in Yaounde every Tuesday, we have decided to give the world 100 books. They will be under the series Spiritual Fragrance. We have finished the first one. And this is a magazine documentary of Kumi. More exhaustive than what you have watched. It was required and done by the building committee. There are so many stories, so many stories, that the building committee decided to do a simple documentary and a magazine to communicate a vision of what Kume is all about. It doesn't follow the plan of the documentary, past, present, future. No. It is more extensive. Okay. Any other question?
I have a couple of questions. My first question is, how does one qualify to attend the School of Knowing and Serving God?
By applying.
Okay. My next question is, what's the duration?
Sorry?
How long does the School of Knowing and Serving God actually last?
Depending on where you are spiritually, first, okay. And how much time you have.
Okay, my next question is, how do you qualify to become a national or international missionary?
How do you qualify? First of all, the personal assurance that you have been called to carry out that service. Secondly, the evidence of some fruit from your own evangelism. Thirdly, the maturation in your character that shows us that you can deal with people without becoming a scandal to them. There's no use sending a missionary who will insult people, who gets angry, who will slap them around. And there's no use sending some proud fellow whom when people give him trouble, he will sit them down and tell them what a wonderful fellow he was and why they are wasting his precious time. So, calling. Secondly, the evidence of fruit. Thirdly, some brokenness in character. And fourthly, consecration and commitment to pay the price of being filled with the Holy Spirit in order to accomplish what God wants. So the infilling of the Holy Spirit as a critical issue and consecration. Those are basic qualifications. You can have them before you come, or you can have them during the training, but I don't think we should expect that you will have them while you go out there as a missionary. But none of them is static. None of them is static. So there are things that are getting deeper and deeper and deeper. Consecration gets deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. In simple language, the qualifications for a missionary are purely spiritual. Are those all?
No. If someone is not there at that point of character, consecration, and all the things that qualify them, how do they get there?
Just give yourself to Jesus and to us to endure the process of being trained. But don't tell us to train you. And when we start knocking and chiseling out a few things, you sue us to court. Oh. That's what the School of Knowing and Serving God is all about. It is to take raw germs, shape them so that they can be useful. Who else has some questions?
Ma question est une question qui ne fait que revenir depuis des années. Et quand je revois la documentation,
the question I have is a question that has been coming again.
J'ai loupé plusieurs.
After watching the documentary,
après avoir vu la documentation, ça ne fait que revenir.
After watching the documentary, the question keeps coming again.
J'ai entendu plusieurs réponses à la question, mais je n'ai jamais été satisfait.
I've heard many answers to the question, but I've never been satisfied.
La consécration, comme parlait notre sœur.
Consecration, which our sister has just spoken about.
On l'a bien défini.
It's been well defined.
Je n'ai pas de problème avec la définition.
But I have no problem with the definition.
Mais je ne comprends rien.
But I do not understand anything.
J'ai essayé d'approcher le frère Zach chaque fois pour lui poser la question, comment on fait?
I've always tried to get close to Brother Zach to ask him the question, what can one do?
Mais le peu de chance que j'ai eu de l'approcher, il m'a toujours envoyé faire quelque chose d'autre.
But the few times I had the opportunity to get to him, he asked me to go and do something else.
Et je revois cette documentation, je revois le frère Théodore au four et au moulin. Le frère Théodore au four et au moulin.
After watching the documentary, I've watched Brother Theodore.
Between the anvil, the hammer and the anvil.
Between the hammer and the anvil. Mm.
Ma question est la suivante.
This is my question.
Comment faites-vous au milieu de toutes ces différentes fonctions, au milieu de toutes vos différentes méditations?
How do you do in the midst of all your responsibilities, your meditations?
Au milieu de toutes vos lectures bibliques, littérature chrétienne et tout ce que
your
qui involve la vie chrétienne.
Your Bible reading Christian literature, all that which involves the Christian life.
Et tenir toujours debout, quel est le secret? S'il y a un comprimé, donnez-moi.
What's your secret? If there's some medicine to take,
some pill.
If there's some pill to take, please give it to me. I want it.
Parce que nous n'avons qu'un petit ministère d'une cinquantaine de membres. Il y a des jours où je ne parviens même pas à manger.
I have a ministry maybe of about 50 something people, but there are days that I can't even eat.
Oui, consécration. On arrive là-bas comment?
Consecration, please. Tell me, how does one get there?
Ne serait-ce que montre-moi le chemin.
Please, just show me the way.
C'est ma question.
That's my question.
The first thing is that consecration is just the commitment of your total person to what God has called you to God and to what He has called you to be and to do. So it is extremely different for each person. How, when you earn money and you put aside tithes and offerings for God, that's consecration. That money is what you call consecrated money. That's what you have put aside. It is for specific use. You don't take it and use it for other things, because you have put it aside. So consecration is putting yourself aside, your time, your abilities, your experiences, your person aside to do something specific that God has given you to do. So that you will not use that thing that you have put aside for the world. And what I mean by for the world, you will not have to use it again for the demands of other people. It may be your family. It may be your own ambitions. It may be other things. But you put it aside for Jesus. And that use to which Jesus will place you. Now, how do you get there? There is no, at every stage, consecration makes different demands. Where you are now, there are things that God demands from you with the circumstances in which you are. The first step in consecration is not so much what you do that eyes can see, but that your heart becomes available by being separated from all else and being available to Christ and for what He wants you to do. Our problem is not so much the management of time as the non-availability of the heart. When I'm flying in the plane, my mind is not immediately doing something. But if your heart is on the mission that you are going to do in Durham, then over and over as you sit in the plane, there are a number of things that you can settle. Lord, what would you want me to teach in Durham? And in those little moments, with the heart fixed on Jesus and on the things that He wants done, even the busy hours outside doing many things do not ruffle the spirit. And a lot of things come into place because the mind has come to rest on some things. So there is inner availability and there is the discipline of aligning your time and person to the things that you have given yourself to. That's the first step. It is the setting of the heart. The Bible says, if therefore you have been raised with Christ, set your heart. So you set the heart like you set the clock. So consecration is a setting of the heart. It doesn't happen by chance. Do you understand me? You can set the clock to 2 o'clock, to a time when you can get up. There is something like setting the heart. Set your affections. Set. Turn it to them. And you can do that with time over and over and over. When I love you, if you are a critical part of the goal, and part of my consecration requires building a relationship with you for the sake of the goal, my money will have to go into it. My efforts will have to go into it. In my relationship with Brazak, since I knew that a lot of God's purposes for my life are all tied to Brazak. And since I know from being the son of a pastor and reading the scriptures that you honor a man by your gifts, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruit of your harvest. And because I do not want familiarity and the love he has for me to color me from maintaining a spiritual perspective of my relationship with him, I made sure that no time that I will meet him, even if I have to meet him 7, 8, 10 times a year, I must give a gift to him. Not because he needs a gift, but in order that my heart will be correctly positioned to receive spiritually from him. It's not accidental, and it's not the fruit of love. It is the setting of the heart. You will gradually despise a man to whom you don't give. It's a Bible law. It works in marriage. No matter how intimate it you are, no matter the fact that both of you own all your salary, if you do not cultivate the habit of giving to your wife, your heart will go to another woman. Giving does not only bless the person who receives the money or the gifts. Giving aligns your heart and keeps your heart in a certain direction. When I learned it, I made sure that I pray for him and I struggle to give him the best I have as a discipline so that God's purposes for me through him may find no hindrance. So you set the heart. For my own wife, on this trip, I bought her a large print Bible since her eyesight, she is squinting too much. And you promised to go to the bookshop in America when I wanted to buy my books in England. He said the books were too expensive, that all of them would be in America. And I told him he must remember to go to the bookshop. And here he is, so devoted to the meetings. As I knew he would be. Have you understood me? Set your heart, direct your resources and investments, and set your mind. How do I set my mind? For example, when I decided to become a missionary at the age of, or when God called me and I knew I was going to be a missionary at the age of 15, the first thing was setting my mind. How do I incubate it? How do I turn it over so that it matures? I need to set my mind. It is the incubation principle. The chicken sits on that colorless liquid until the cheeks form. Vision comes like some fluid and something colorless. It is the mind that dwells on the vision that it has received that gives it form. And many people have received things, and because they did not concentrate on it deliberately, what they received has remained quite fluid. It doesn't come down to something really, really concrete. And when I have something that I believe I have received from God, I read a minimum of 100 books on the issue so that my mind can dwell on it long enough for it to take form within me. For about becoming a missionary, I read more than 400 missionary biographies. And I meditated on the book of Acts for 7 years, every day. So that my mind, the human personality does not absorb spiritual things rapidly. We are not constituted like that. Even in your studies, you realize that your mind absorbs conscious knowledge by repetition. You read and read and read and read and read and read before you grasp something, even what you understood. How much more spiritual realities? So I dwell there, and that has to do with mental discipline. I read on the subject. It's just the basic principle of studying, even in the university. When you are writing on a subject, you cover a lot of reference material on the subject before you can see clearly enough to bring in the distinct contribution of that seminal idea that has been put into your mind. Is that not what you all do? So keep the mind on the topic until it takes structure. So set the heart. Invest your resources. Set your mind. If it matters to you. And if it doesn't matter to you, it's not one of those, the call of God is not one of those things you touch and then you don't get contaminated in one touch like HIV. You absorb it like osmosis. You stay in the environment and it soaks into you over time. Over time. There's a statement. Mind your thoughts. They will create your desires. Mind your desires. They will produce your actions. Actions. Mind your actions because they will form habits. Mind your habits because it will produce character. Mind your character because it will produce your destiny. So thoughts create desires that create actions, that create habits, that create character, that creates a destiny. I don't know, Brother Jacob, have you understood me? What starts off as effort will one day be a habit. And will one day be an unconscious reflex, a way of life. Have I answered your question?
Oui, frère. Mais je crois que j'ai besoin que tu pries pour moi.
Que je prie pour toi.
Pour que je comprenne ces choses.
Non, pour comprendre, un mot, dans les mots profanes et banals, hein? Plus tu fais, plus ça va t'absorber. L'appétit vient en mangeant. Yes. Tu as compris maintenant. Non? Plus tu fais, plus ça va te posséder. C'est ça la consécration. Si tu oublies tous les gros mots qu'on a utilisés. Si tu prêches à 10 personnes, tu auras le fardeau pour prêcher à 100. quand tu finis de prêcher à 100, tu auras le fardeau pour prêcher à 1000. Quand tu as fini de prêcher à 1000, tu auras le fardeau pour prêcher à 10 000. C'est la même chose avec l'argent. Ceux qui ont bien utilisé les centaines vont bien utiliser les millièmes. Ceux qui utilisent bien les 1000 vont utiliser des dizaines de 1000. Et ceux qui ont été fidèles dans les dizaines de 1000 vont conquérir les centaines de 1000. Et ceux qui ont bien géré les centaines de 1000 vont gérer les millions, ainsi de suite. Jusqu'à ce que Dieu puisse te donner des milliards et des centaines de milliards et des milliers de milliards. Selon sa capacité. Donc, petit à petit, vas-y. Même chaque voyage, il faut un pas. Chaque pas t'avance vers quelque part. C'est plus facile comme ça, non? Ok. Yes, Brother Elias.
When shall we see Brother Theodore walking together with Brother John Buffer?
No, go ahead.
It's simple. That's a question.
It's a question that can be asked to two people because the factors relate to two people. So when you see the two, ask them. Can I answer for another person? So it's not a fair question. And secondly, it's a question that carries a lot of background and prejudice. Can I answer for that which you have heard, which I don't know? Yeah.
What are the short-term needs of the project in Betra? If we can know the short-term needs and the long-term needs, I think we will be able to know how we can fit in as a church to make our contributions.
The short-term needs. About 40 families left Yaoundé to go down to Betwa to start the headquarters. There are only 2 housing units in the headquarters. We have to build very urgently 50 housing units to staff those who have gone down. Those are the those are the big emergencies. Everyone who left, most of them are renting in town. There is no office space. Secondly, for almost all the departments, it is a matter of starting from zero. Offices have to be built. Even the radio station, for example, we have the radio station in Yaoundé for now. It is based on an analog operation system. The Cameroon government is giving every radio station 3 years to switch to digital operation systems, which means the purchase of completely new equipment. After 3 years, the license of every radio station that has not carried out a switch will be canceled. So we have the short-term needs are settling those who are the available staff. Secondly, the takeoff of all the departments in Betwa. And thirdly, the funding to make sure that the ministry of the headquarters goes on without waiting for all the structural advantages. So the World University of Prayer courses must go on. The School of Knowing and Serving God must go on. Everything must just keep going on, convenient or inconvenient. Any other question? Yes.
You said that you want to teach 1,000 young students the Bible. If you want to be one and you're not in Cameroon, how would that be possible?
Just apply. And then we find ways of communicating by applying. It's not a prospectus school. It's an elective situation. So you elect yourself and you push yourself beyond the madding crowd and get counted. We are going to get, one of the things we have to develop is e-learning for the entire ministry, both for the World University of Prayer, the School of Knowing and Serving God, the Bible correspondence courses. Brother Jim Smith had already worked on 62 lessons on the way books written by Brother Zach. I asked him to send me the material to standardize. We'll get it into e-learning, and the Bible correspondence courses will be transformed into e-learning so that you can do the course on your computer and get your marking done immediately. But that's something we are working towards. The young man who did this documentary, that's his primary assignment.
It's a very simple question, but odd at the same time, especially coming from someone born and raised in Cameroon. How far away is Bertwa from Yaoundé?
356 kilometers.
Is that 4 hours drive?
If the roads are good.
To Bertwa is the road condition. If the road conditions were good, then 354 kilometers, that would be less than 3 hours drive. But unfortunately, there is a car road, but that no. It's a tar road. It's about halfway, and the other half is.
No, it has improved.
It has improved, but not the whole stretch. Is tarred.
It will soon be completely tarred. Yeah. The section that is not yet tarred is only 25 kilometers now. The untarred section is only 25 kilometers now. And they are working at it. Because when it is finished, it will be tarred right to the borders of Central African Republic. Because from Bertwa to the borders of Central African Republic, for 288 kilometers has already been tarred. When that small section of 25 kilometers is tarred, it will get us right to the border of Central African Republic. And when from a place called Garabulai to Ngaoundéré is tarred, you can go right to N'Djamena by tarred route. Those are the. So Bertwa becomes very strategic because it becomes a hub to Central African Republic, to Northern Nigeria, to Chad, and to Congo and Gabon. So it's an emerging hub.
The building project went through a process in obtaining the best possible bricks. And I want to consider that over time, the building project would have developed some expertise in that particular area in Bertwa. Are we open to the possibility of using that expertise in generating some income?
Yeah. We are working, we are at feasibility studies at that level. The funding for this project, we want to make the headquarters self-financing as much as possible so that the contributions that come becomes something that move us ahead in a distinct way. But that requires a lot of favor and a lot of teaming up with the Bertwa Urban Council. The agricultural projects are geared towards some form of self-financing. What we did with the literature ministry, we are struggling to do with some aspects of the headquarters. If we can generate ongoing funds, even if it is only in a little way, it can cover overheads so that what comes in can can go into actual projects. So we are not only open to it, we have started working on it. We have a big shortage in qualified human resources to handle different departments. And I cannot give up my own assigned task to take on the diversifications in which I have no competence. With the confidence crisis from those who should be the most competent to handle those things, both from human maturity and social girth, it leaves us with great disadvantages. But we are not only open, we are going to work at it.
As you are talking about responsibilities and tasks at the headquarters level, one of the questions that came to my mind was whether some of them can be easily outsourced.
Well, how do you mean?
That is performed remotely. Say, for example, there can be a task that would support the headquarters that may be for which someone qualified and willing to do the job, say, is based in the U.S. And can the person do it remotely? When I think, for example, of some U.S. companies that shift their IT department to India, for example, or to China, from where they have people working so that the labor can be cheap. That's the main reason why they do that. I mean, are there some tasks that can be outsourced in the same way if there are qualified and available individuals to do the job?
You are in the U.S. Get us what you can do from here. It's our business. Secondly, the architect, the town planning and all that has been done, when we first approach a town planner to handle just the planning and trying to put on scale all that we have been trying to show, the town planner in Cameroon drove us from his office. He told us we are utopian and he has no time for idle guys. It was too mammoth for him to conceive of, and he considered us fellows who come to waste his time with jokes. So he drove us from his office. He asked us whether we know that we are talking about the size of a city. We said we are well aware of it. And he asked us whether we think we have money to pay a town planner to plan a city, not a part of a city, but to plan a city. We said that's why we came to find out. We said we should get out of the office. Because he told us that even just planning one hectare of land will cost us so much that for him to even sit down and consider the possibility of planning for us, we need to bring an initial 300 million. Then God blessed us by raising an urban planner architect in Gabon who has done a lot of the Google mapping and survey and planning of the entire surface, and who has done the plans for the initial structures, and we are working with him. He considers that part of his ministry, and he asked for 25 million for his materials. And the church in Libreville decided to pay for that. So that is like what you are talking about. So he works from Libreville. So what you can do from the U.S., get done. If you want to ship caterpillars for the farming project, get set and get it done. The documentary only shows you where we are and where we are going. It doesn't tell you who will do what. So it's an open road for us all. Have I exhausted all the questions? Yes, Brad Peter.
Yeah, I'm not sure if this is a question that can or should be publicly answered, but short-term projects that Pastor Calvin was talking about, I was curious of a ballpark figure for the 50 structures for the families that moved, and perhaps even for the radio station moves to the digital form of
A bit louder, you know.
Oh,
I have an African ear, so I need to... You need to get slowly for me to grasp everything. Like when Brad DC is talking, I guess I share more the joy than hearing everything he says.
Yeah, praise the Lord. All right, here we go. And no, I was curious about a ballpark figure as to the short-term projects that Pastor Calvin asked about. For the 50 structures for the families to move in. I'm not familiar with the cost in Africa of building these things, and possibly also for the equipment for the digital move from the radio station.
Okay. The architect has worked out standard two-bedroom houses and what it will cost, three-bedroom houses and what it will cost, four-bedroom houses, and what they will cost. The two-bedroom house has been estimated at the cost of present, the cost of materials in the market in Cameroon at 6 million, at $12,000. And three-bedroom, incidentally, the cost is not, it goes far up. Yeah, it goes far up. It goes to about 10 million. Because the foundation and other things. So it gets to about $20,000. So for the housing, that's standard plans have been drawn and costed on the basis of the availability of local material. That's what it comes to approximately.
Given that that's the market cost of those construction projects in Cameroon, there is the country has an inflation rate that is estimated at about 2.5% every year. And also when there is an estimation of 500 francs CFA for every dollar, it does fluctuate. Depending on the exchange rate between the euro and the dollar. Actually, I think this week or during the last weeks, it's been far less than that. So, you'll 6 million would be over $12,000.
It will be going
over.
It will be going far more than that now.
Yeah.
These are just he wanted estimates. So it is. About $12,000 plus or minus $1,000. Yeah, if you win some big souls and get some bored American who doesn't know what to do with his money, he can find some meaning for his life. Some people have foundations, legacies for which they know nothing. They don't have anything worthwhile to do with their lives. We have gotten the government approval to start the primary nursery schools, so the schools, a bilingual complex of schools registered under Zakaria Staniform complex of schools. We have registered a foundation so that we can have a judicial framework in which to do many of the things like the hospital and the orphanages and other things. Have I answered your question? All right. I guess all the questions have been answered.